You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
Let's go ahead and bring out this powerhouse. And so I'm really, really excited. I'm going to bringing out in 3, 2, 1, Miss Elise Gibbs. What's going on?
Hey, I'm excited.
Awesome. And I said Elise Gibbs, right?
No S at the end of Gibb.
Gibb. Elise Gibb. All right. I was just so
it's
excited.
More common with
when
the
I get
S.
excited, I throw S's at the end of everything, right? And so awesome. Well, congrats on winning this like coaching session, I guess we'll call it. And so tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how'd you get into the industry? And love the shirt. Amazing. It's awesome. And so, yeah, tell us how'd you get into this industry? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I kind of fell into it, which I think is the story for most people. I had been a high school math teacher. I ended up deciding to stay home once I had kids, and that was just going to be my thing. And I was happy. I love staying home with my kids. But then my husband started his own business where he started traveling a lot for work. And so I found myself at home talking with a 2-year-old and a newborn basically all day for a week at a time. And not that I was looking specifically for network marketing, but I was looking for something with more community, just something where I was talking to more adults in my day.
Yeah.
And so I really wasn't thinking about network marketing at first. Having a teacher background, I was looking into possibly tutoring or some sort of online teaching, and nothing
right.
really matched up well. And then my best friend introduced me to some products that she was loving. And, you know, you want to support your best friends.
Give her a shout out. So who was this?
Morgan Hastings.
Okay. Morgan. Way to go, Morgan.
Absolutely. And I loved the products. But more than that, my sons, who had really sensitive skin, it was the first time they were able to use this product without having any issues.
Cool.
So she started whispering in my ear about doing more with it. And at first, I wasn't going to do that. I'm not a salesperson, right? That just wasn't something I had ever considered.
Right.
And so she's kept whispering. And then my husband started whispering. He goes, well, you should be doing something. You need more. You've been looking for something. Why don't you take this leap out yourself? So I did. And I have loved every second of it.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Okay. Well, that's super cool. And where are you out of? Where do you live?
Right now, we're in upstate New York.
Okay. All right, cool. Are you excited for the event?
I am so excited for the event.
Yay.
I actually upgraded all the way to Super VIP. So
whoa.
I'm super pumped.
Bam. Nice. Awesome. That's super cool. You're going to love that. Yeah. And for those that may not know, we have our event, our big event in Orlando in October. We'd love to see you there. And that's at rankmakerslive.com. Maybe someone could type that out, rankmakerslive.com. All right. So hit me. What questions do you have for me? How can you put me on the spot here? Make it tough.
Okay. So when you're out there and you're prospecting people, what is a reasonable rate of conversion for people to respond to your messages? When should you start looking at your message and say, maybe I need to change my message because not enough people are responding?
Yeah. So there's a few variables there. And I think some of this actually, some of the answer actually will impact personalities. So I'll tell you right now, I have no idea what my percentage was because I didn't pay attention to that. I was so focused on hitting my numbers that I couldn't even guess. I have no idea. And that's one of the things that I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that you're wanting, you know, to know that is a bad thing, but I will tell you that some people check their gauges too much and they're like, well, my percentage is only this. And so I'll give you a couple different things. So one, it's going to depend on how many are you only reaching out. And when you say out, do you mean like on social media, I assume, or?
I mean, mostly, usually, I think that's what most
Okay.
of me and my team are doing at this point.
Yeah. So it depends. I mean, if you're, for example, if you're messaging people you aren't friends with, which, you know, I didn't always know I wanted to be a friend of, I didn't know if I wanted to be someone's friend. So I did not wait until I was a friend to message someone. I would, you know, message them and then comment on one of their things saying, hey, I sent you a message, have a second. But I really didn't pay attention to the percentage. So let me give you some, you know, some perspective here. So a successful, and this is a different category, but I'm just going to throw it out there because I think this will help people. A successful direct mail campaign. So we send some direct mail where we're sending a letter in the mail to, you know, whoever to try to get them to either join Rankmakers or purchase a ticket to the event or whatever. And right now our big campaign that we've been doing is like, I mean, at one point we're sending out 14,000 letters a week. That was converting at 2.7%, which is actually extremely high for direct mail, because 1% is a lot of successful, you know, companies have been built on 1%. I realize that's different than prospecting, but if you're messaging people that you're not friends with, that you have no connections with at all, I don't think it's crazy to think 5 to 10% are going to respond to you. And it's, you know, can that be improved? Of course. But it's something that's not one of those things that I would be a strict observer of. Because if you commit to, I'm going to do the activity. And I'll tell you another example. So one of my coaches, you know, Mr. 10X, right, Grant Cardone, he said, I was at his boot camp, and this is, you know, $10,000 boot camp. We're about to, in like 2 weeks, go to $30,000 boot camp, and it'll be worth it, right? I'm excited about it. But he says, listen, we got the lowest conversion rate in the industry. And it's like, wait a minute, man, you're the sales dude. Like, what are you talking about? And his point to that was that we reach out to more people and follow up with more people than anybody else. So we're simply hitting more people than anyone else. And that's why our percentage is so low. But we don't care about that. We care about the revenue. We care about, you know, what, you know, how much is being brought in. And so I wouldn't worry so much about percentage of people responding. That'd be my biggest advice to you.
So would you care more about the number of prospects, and not just the people you're reaching out to, but the people you're having conversations with, how many you convert those to signups?
Whether I would want, you know, you always want to identify where's the weakest point. And this is true in sales and prospecting or in marketing. And so, like, you know, I'll give the market, I always give way different analogies, then we bring it back to the actual question. And so, like, right now I have two funnels that I'm evaluating for clients of ours. And so when we look at it, we look at, okay, if they have to opt in, what is the percentage of people that visit that page and opt in? If it's really low, then okay, let's identify that first. Let's make this a higher converting page first. If we have one client, I'm not going to name him anyway, but we have one client that their opt-in percentage was like 60%. Okay, you do not need to change that page. Keep that page exactly the same, but their sales were really terrible. So the sales thing need to be fixed. So you need to, you know, make the sales page more engaging, make it better, and improve on that. And so you identify what's the weak point. If you're selling, you know, like courses or something like that, okay, what's the upsell percentage, et cetera, and so forth. So you're looking at what is the weakest point. So if you're looking at the people that are responding, where are the most people falling apart? Is it when you ask them to watch a video? Is it when you follow up after, you know, they watch the video and try to collect a decision or see where they're at? Where exactly is the weakest point if you looked at all of the people that did respond? And so usually there's a couple words that can be changed that will improve that. But the problem is most people, like if a funnel isn't selling or there's prospecting isn't working, they just throw the whole thing away and do something totally different. And that's a nightmare, because you may have had a piece or two working well, but one piece wasn't. You just got to fix that piece. And so sometimes it's how, and this is why we teach, a follow-up so much, because a lot of sales come from follow-up. So for example, the difference between if you've sent someone a video and then you follow up with them, hey, did you watch the video? That's not very powerful, right? If they've never responded to you. But if you send them a message saying, hey, I just want to apologize, I've been so busy, how you been? You have a higher chance that they'll respond to that. And you position yourself as busy, which you should always position yourself when it comes to prospecting. You should posture yourself as busier than the other person. Now, people that don't make sales, they'll argue this and say, well, if you're really busy, then how do they know you'll have time to help them? And that's why they don't make sales. It's because that's what they think is going to get them sales. That's not what gets you sales. What makes you sales is when people see that you're onto something, you're up to something. And so did you watch our Play to Win episodes?
Yes. Love them.
So noticed the difference when, I think her last name is Dawn, but notice the difference when Kim was selling those backpacks and she's like, hey guys, I got 5 minutes to sell these things. And she just had that energy. She was busy. She was up to something. And if you're not moving with her, she's moving on. And then the next person said roughly the same thing, but just not much urgency. So they didn't sell hardly anything. And so that's similar in this situation, is if you got all the time in the world for your prospect, then you're clearly not that busy. If I'm told that there's an amazing, chiropractor, right? Oh my God, you got to go to this guy. He's an amazing chiropractor. And I say, hey, when can I come in for a visit? And he says, well, I'll just swing on by. I'm like, well, don't you have appointments and things? Nah, man, just come on by. And I'm gonna wonder, like, is he really that good? I mean, if he was good, wouldn't he have like a waiting list or something? But if that guy was not busy at all, but told me, hey man, my next booking is in November 18th. I'd be like, oh man, book me in there. And if he called me the next day and he said, hey Higdon, this never happens, but I actually have an opening at 2:30. If you wanted to come up, oh my God, let me get in there. Right? Same yeah. Scenario, just handled differently. And so, you being postured, you being busy, and if they say they're busy, that's okay. You're busier. So if someone says, I'm real busy, I won't be able to watch the video for, till next Tuesday, I'll say, perfect, no problem. To be honest, I am slammed. Tell you what, I can't do Tuesday, but maybe Thursday. See how that works? It's a dance, right? It's a dance of posture. And so there's a very, when I analyze, scripts and look at what people are saying, most of the times, the two biggest mistakes made in social media prospecting that I see, well, other than the kind of obvious ones, building rapport forever is a huge mistake. But the two big ones, if you get past that, if you're smarter at getting to the point, then it's saying too much, where you're pitching, like it's ground floor, it's amazing, you'd be great at it, like saying too much, or just not being postured, just not position yourself as the prize, not as a expert or not as a guru, but not position yourself as the prize. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I would analyze, take look at, okay, here's the past 20 people that have responded to me, or 50 people or whatever, where did it fall apart? Is there a theme? Because there might be a little piece in there that change a word or two out and you'll get better results.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.